Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. Which fits in with the talk today. I'm being kind of selfish, thinking how well this suits my needs. So, and of course, that's what we all want, right? We all want to have our needs met. We all want to be happy. We all want to feel satisfied and just feel good about ourselves, which reminds me of that country song from years ago. I want to talk about me, want to talk about I, want to talk about number one, oh my, me, my, what I like, what I think, what I know, what I see. I want to talk about me. That's the closest I will ever get to singing from this platform, all right? We got to leave that to the professionals. I've been told many times to stay in your lane, Rev. So that's as close or as much as I'm going to stray out of my lane. But that's our topic today, is selfishness. Those times when we wanted to be all about me. And that's what selfishness is. I want to focus on my desires. I want to feel good. I want to focus on my needs, my advantage. See what's in it for me. That's selfishness. And the classic definition of it. And there's a component of it that's actually very healthy for us, and that's self-care. We're all worthy of taking care of ourselves. We're all worthy of doing what we need to do to meet our needs physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. We're all worthy of giving our minds and bodies and souls what they need to be strong and healthy for ourselves, for our families, for our communities. That is self-care. And there are many times when that's the good and right thing to do. It's even the sacred thing to do. And yet there are some who feel that even self-care is selfish, and they feel guilty when they want to take care of themselves. These are people who are always worried about what somebody else needs. They're always putting their own needs below, not above, but below what other people need, complying to whatever people demand from them. It might be a spouse or a partner, family, friends, coworkers. And this is actually saying they're more important than I am. Now, there are times when even this is called for. If you have children, you know there are many times when we must put our children first. And we do make commitments to our spouses and partners and coworkers, our families, our friends, and we need to tend to those commitments. But what I'm talking about is when it gets to the point where we're doing that, we think we're being selfless, but it's really coming from unworthiness. Well, we want to be selfless in a way that comes from self-love. I was recently watching a video on YouTube about Buddhism, and despite my efforts, I couldn't find this guy's name, but he's a Buddhist monk, and he said, "The more you love yourself, the more selfless you become." Do not confuse self-love and selfishness. They're different. So what we want to do is love ourselves so much that we become selfless. You might think that's a paradox. But it's not when you remember the core principle that we teach here, that all of New Thought spiritual paths teach, oneness. We are one. We are one with each other. We are one with everything. We are one with the one. Any apparent separation, any sense of separation is human-made. It's of this world. It's not of the spiritual realm. It's not ultimate reality. We manufacture senses of separation. We are made from the only thing that exists, which is the one spirit. We are made of it, from it. And when it chooses to make forth or to bring forth each one of us, it does not then cut us off from itself. No, it creates us from itself and then it keeps us as part of it. We are not cut off so that we're all like distinct little individual beings running around all disconnected from everything. No. It keeps us as part of itself so that we are all connected, so that deeply we are one, our core principle. And what that means is that our individual well-being is completely wrapped up in the well-being of the whole. Which means it's completely wrapped up in the well-being of every other person. Actually, in the well-being of the entire planet and Earth and creation. There's a beautiful African philosophy that gets at this from the Bantu people. It's called Ubuntu. Ubuntu. U-B-U-N-T-U, if you want to look it up when you go home. Ubuntu. Ubuntu is most often translated to English as I am because we are. But it can also be translated as a person is a person through people. A person is a person through people. And it talks to and ask us to remember and act from our interconnectedness and our interdependence. Two African scholars, Jacob Mugambate and Amare Shireni, describe Ubuntu in this way. An authentic individual human being is part of a larger and more significant relational, communal, societal, environmental, and spiritual world. We are each part of something bigger than ourselves on every level. Archbishop Desmond Tutu explained Ubuntu in this way. One of the sayings in our country is Ubuntu, the essence of being human. Ubuntu speaks particularly about the fact that you can't exist as a human being in isolation. You can't be human all by yourself. And when you have this quality, Ubuntu, you are known for your generosity. We think of ourselves far too frequently as just individuals separated from another, whereas you are connected. And what you do affects the whole world. When you do well, it spreads out. It is for the whole of humanity. So even when we're taking care of ourselves, from a sense of knowing our interconnectedness, we're serving humanity. And Barack Obama, when speaking at Nelson Mandela's memorial, said this: there is a word in South Africa, Ubuntu. A word that captures Mandela's greatest gift, his recognition that we are all bound together in ways that are invisible to the eye, that there is a oneness to humanity, that we achieve ourselves by sharing ourselves with others and caring for those around us. Ubuntu. Remembering that we are connected and acting from that. The Dalai Lama gets at the same principle in his idea of wise selfishness. Wise selfishness is knowing that our well-being is bound up in the well-being of other people. So that if we want to really be selfish, if we want to really take care of ourselves and be happy and well and prosper, we'll think about others because we are so connected. The Dalai Lama writes, "What is important is that when pursuing our own self-interest, we should be wise selfish and not foolish selfish. Being foolish selfish means pursuing our own interest in a narrow, short-sighted way. Being wise selfish means taking a broader view and recognizing that our own long-term individual interest lies in the welfare of everyone. Being wise selfish means being compassionate." And then he goes on to explain why being this way is selfish. Because there are so many benefits that come with being kind and compassionate and understanding and loving. That we are happier, we are physically healthier, we have better relationships with our community members. And of course, science backs this up. It shows many benefits of being kind and compassionate. They include, this is not an exhaustive list, they include we produce less cortisol, which reduces stress, more endorphins, which increases the feeling of positive emotions and just generally feeling good, increased confidence and sense of self-worth, stronger relationships, stronger support networks, decreased symptoms of depression, reduced feelings of loneliness and isolation, lower blood pressure, reduced pain, increased energy, a sense of meaning and purpose, which leads to a feeling of hope. A little while ago, I heard a podcast in which Dan Harris, on his podcast 10% Happier, was interviewing Brian Stevenson. Brian Stevenson is an attorney in Montgomery, Alabama. He is the founder and leader, executive director of Equal Justice Initiative. This man, Brian, has dedicated his entire career to justice. And he spent a good part of his interview with Dan talking about wise selfishness in the way that the Dalai Lama speaks of it. Brian, in advocating for justice, tells us, be kind and compassionate so you can keep your hope. Because, he says, injustice prevails where hopelessness persists. So if you want justice, find a way to be kind and compassionate so as not to lose your hope, so as not to let injustice prevail. And to circle back to the African philosophy of Ubuntu, it says the same thing. Practice kindness, compassion, caring for each other because we are so connected. Nelson Mandela. A traveler through a country would stop at a village and he didn't have to ask for food or for water. Once he stops, the people just give him food and attend to him. This is one aspect of Ubuntu, but it will have various aspects. Ubuntu does not mean that people should not address themselves. The question is, are you going to do so in order to enable the community around you to be able to also improve? So Ubuntu says, yes, take care of yourself. But do so with the mindfulness that as I take care of myself in good and healthy ways, I am lifting up my community too, because deeply we are one. Again, Archbishop Desmond Tutu. A person with Ubuntu is open and available to others, affirming of others, does not feel threatened that others are able and good. based from a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs to a greater whole and is diminished when others are humiliated or diminished, when others are tortured or oppressed. Ubuntu knows deeply we are one. Wise selfishness knows deeply we are one. So that's the knowing, but we haven't yet answered the question, why does this feel so good? Why does it make us happy? Well, here we go back to that core concept of oneness. And if we remember that, we realize that when we're acting from those divine qualities that we come from, of love, compassion, generosity, understanding, kindness, when we act from that, what's really going on, it's one part of spirit tending to some other part of itself through us. Because we are spirit in action. We are its hearts, its minds, its hands, feet, eyes, ears, mouths. It cannot serve, or probably could, but it chooses to serve other parts of itself through our humanity, through our selfish kindness, through our spirit of Ubuntu. And this feels good because it is our soul remembering who and whose we are. Now, most often when we say that around here, remember who and whose you are, we're thinking, remember that you belong to spirit. But today I use it in the sense of remembering who and whose you are is everybody's, is all your fellow human beings, and they belong to us as well. And it feels good to act from the very essence of our soul, the who and what that we are. Young children know this. We've all seen young children before we socialize them differently. We've all seen young children that are constantly saying, I help. I want to help. Let me help. Children easily and effortlessly show kindness and compassion. And another thing they do, another thing we can learn from children when they act in the spirit of Ubuntu or wise selfishness, they don't even know that's what they're doing. They're just acting from their inherent spirit within. But another thing, actually a thing they don't do, they don't judge the size of their contribution vis-a-vis the size or scope of the situation. They just do what they can, where they can, right there for the people in their circles. They never think, what good will it do? It doesn't matter. They just do it. Sometimes our children are our best teachers because they're closest to where they come from. In fact, I heard a story years ago about a young boy. He's about 4 years old, and he had a baby sister. And he kept begging his parents to spend time with his sister, to hold his baby sister, but he wanted to be alone with his sister. And his parents kept saying, no, 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 somebody else needs to be with you. But he kept insisting, and then one day, mom's in a different part of the house, and she hears over the baby monitor, when the baby was in the room sleeping in her crib, she hears the little boy go in there, and he walks up to the crib and he says to his baby sister, tell me about God, I'm starting to forget. Little children know where we come from, so we need to listen to them. So, you want to be happy? You want to feel good? Serve others. Feeling hopeless? Show some kindness and compassion. Feeling lonely? Find a way to serve others somewhere. Feeling overwhelmed by world events? find a way to give right where you are. So I'm giving you permission to go ahead and be selfish, but do so in a wise way. Love yourself so much that you can't help but be kind and compassionate. And to paraphrase Barack Obama, achieve yourself by sharing yourself with others. Let's pray. I invite our practitioners and ministers to stand and hold this prayer in their consciousness. Thank you. Deeply we are one. And I give thanks for this. I give thanks that that one power and presence, that one loving presence, chose to create in this way, chose to create from itself as itself and to keep us for itself, to serve within it, such that wise selfishness is a beautiful thing, and that in doing so, we help heal ourselves, our families, our communities, our world. This is a beautiful thing. I give thanks for it. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, Spirit. And in knowing this, and in knowing the world is filled with kind hearts, I release this prayer, knowing it is done because it is the one Spirit. And so it is. So it is.